Hi, John.
Hello.
So thank you for joining us today. For people that don't know you, I was going to ask if you could sort of give us a little bit of an introduction, maybe.
Yeah, sure. So it's John from Octopus Computers. I am a massive nerd. I'll do most things nerdy, as I'm sure we'll get into. Own and run a couple of tech IT companies, all in the Stanford area. So I was born and raised. We've been trading 10 years, growing pretty quickly.
Excellent.
And that's who we are and what we do.
Yeah, brilliant. So how did you start a business? How did you get into that?
So it wasn't me. I'm not that clever. It was my dad did it while he was part-time teaching. So he was a German teacher at school and started fixing printers and computers on the side back when they were much bigger things.
Right. What year was that? What school year was that?
I was still at school. So early 2000s.
Right.
Very young.
Yeah.
And so early noughties he started doing that and sort of fell out with it for a few times. At the same time, once I finished, I was working over in Loughborough in the automotive sector. That's a great job, but started doing that and then do a consultancy advice with him and basically said, why don't we try and turn this into a bigger business
than
domestic repairs. So sort of worked out some products and services. He took them out to market, did, to be fair to him, really well. Got a solid dozen or so clients on board, which I think is some of the hardest parts of growing.
At the beginning.
So got some actual commitments out of people, got some retainers, and that was enough to employ me. I moved over and the rest is history, I think.
Brilliant. And did you have a real interest in it, and you were sort of helping your dad when you were very young as well?
So I mean, I've always been nerdy in that sense. I wouldn't describe myself as very techie anymore compared to the guys
involved
with us. I'm pretty good. There are people who are way better.
You're more focused on looking after the clients and
business, all sort of business strategy and growth.
Yeah.
But I was building computers when I was 8 or 10 or so.
Right.
When we went to uni, I set up our not quite legal file sharing network across the entire uni estate that I was administering. Back when that was the thing, it was massive. And it was always the one that my friends came to and sort of and stuff. But I'm only now doing a full IT qualification.
Right.
So everything else I've got is massively unrelated to it.
You've got some experience and real life.
Exactly.
I've
just never been formally trained in it. I have now Google Microsoft certs and stuff like that.
Excellent. And what is it that you really enjoy about your role? What's your favorite parts of it?
A couple of things of it. So when it comes to the IT piece, I love how can you be the hero? So when it all goes wrong, you get to come in like a hero in a cape and you've saved the day. And that's a really good feeling, that's sort of why you get in. It certainly is true for the technician side.
Definitely.
What I probably enjoy the most is the growing of the team and watching them sort of develop. Because there's some people with us now 5-8 years.
Yeah.
And we've taken them from never worked in IT, never had any sort of responsibility in that sense, to leaders.
Yeah.
Sort of helping them grow into those roles and scaling their business along that is really satisfying.
Yeah.
Certainly the stuff I sort of enjoy more now is mentorship and coaching.
Yeah.
And the strategy piece.
So the people side of the people are really important.
Yeah. Same as meeting with clients and talking to people is probably now more enjoyable than turning it off and on again.
Yeah.
Which is 80% of the job.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. And what challenges do you face in the business in the modern world right now?
There's a lot, especially in tech.
We've
got constant disruption and challenge from vendors and market. So that is to say, obviously, you've got AI AI, blockchain, decentralization. There's a couple of hot topics. But you have this weird blend when you take it to the SME space, which is what we trade in primarily, of they know the terms, but it's really hard to truly engage commercially.
Yeah.
And find a use case for it. So we have to ride this line between cutting edge and practical.
Yeah.
At the same time, we get a lot of challenges from vendors. So Microsoft, Google, both are frankly unpleasant to work with. So we have to do a lot of training, a lot of expectation management.
Yeah.
What we do to mitigate it, if you want, is how we've always hired.
Yeah.
So we don't hire highly technical people.
Right.
We hire people to communicate, hire people with like really good soft skills, and then train.
Yeah.
Because I do think you can learn a lot of what we do. And we have to devote a lot of time to learning anyway.
If you think of like Microsoft, Google, the people you mentioned, and then you think of an SME business that's your target client, you're essentially bridging the gap between that and communicating and making sure that the SME can access those products and the benefits, but get them in a format that's actually viable and useful for them.
Yeah, it's also a bit of curation, I suppose. We've got to sort of moderate this entire landscape.
Mm-hmm.
So even something simple like antivirus or endpoint
detection,
if you just Google it, we'll find like 50 different hits.
Yeah.
Trying to choose the right product that then plays well with all your other services gets really difficult. So we consolidate all of those into bundles, give people one point of contact to call, so resolve it, and help them basically scale their business sensibly from an infrastructure perspective.
Yeah.
It's the view that we take that most companies nowadays are digital companies or tech companies.
Yeah.
They just don't realize it. Whether that's in manufacturing, marketing, finance, accountancy, none of them can function without infrastructure. I also say that it's now death, funeral, taxes, and IT.
Yeah.
Exactly. Pretty much.
It's quite funny. It always makes me chuckle because obviously we're a marketing engineer, and people say that are uneducated about it will say, oh, Adam's in IT. And I can't even set up a print.
Because you must sign electricity.
It's completely different. So no, we need your services and we use you and you do a great job for us. And people assume that we're IT, but we're not. We're actually very different.
Same thing the other way around. SEO, AdWords, optimization, stuff where it's even got Google in the name.
Yeah.
It's so out of our remit.
Yeah.
We do web hosting because of technical web hosts.
Yeah.
Where we're really good on DNS and infrastructure. Do not ask me to optimize. Just not what we sit at.
Completely different skills.
It's wildly different. But I think when you don't know, when you don't glimpse behind the curtain, it's really hard to distinguish them.
Yeah. Definitely.
But having an expert to talk to across all these matters, just ask for help. Most people don't ask it.
Yeah.
What were you trying to say?
No, absolutely. And what do you think makes you unique against your competitors? What's your key points of difference?
That's double-edged. I would say that anyone still trading in IT is good.
Right.
So it's really, I don't think anyone should sit there in our sector anymore and say, we've got great customer service. Like, of course you do. That's got to be a standard, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you wouldn't still be going. People get fed up with it.
Absolutely.
So what probably distinguishes us is our whole of market approach. So let's take Microsoft as an example. Almost every MSP, which we are, so managed service provider, will be a Microsoft 365 vendor. That comes about because they used to sell servers with Windows Server.
Right.
That all sort of died a death. Everyone went serverless, which is great, by the way, and everyone moved to cloud, and they all went to Microsoft 365. What that means, though, if you're an SME looking for IT, is you'll turn to your IT provider and say, what solution should I have for all my problems?
Right.
And lo and behold, there's one solution.
Right.
It's Microsoft 365. Where we stand differently is being this broader view. So as a 365 comparison, we also offer Google Workspace, so my partner, but both.
Yeah.
Which is really unusual because Google is a nightmare to work with, as I said. They're much harder than Microsoft, but there aren't many people who are actually taking both.
Yeah.
And we can offer full hybrid between those, as well as custom solutions through Linux, AWS, whatever.
Yeah.
And that means that we're able to actually tailor solutions to clients' needs, as opposed to saying, I've got the solution, it's what we sell to everyone else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, that makes our life a lot harder. While most MSPs are having to focus on learning one stack until then. But it means that people are getting something that works for them. It's why our client retentions are so good. It's why people like working with us.
Yeah.
It just keeps it focused.
So if I was an SME in the area, then your typical target client, like you said, you can really come up with the best solution absolutely for us individually. And do we do like a consultation with people? Yeah. Is that a normal approach?
A typical process would be a soft conversation, buy me a coffee, I'll tell you. But effectively talk through the business, the journey, where you're going, your operations, which I think mine's stuck into process. And from there, we would normally offer a free IT audit. So that's when we would look at all your hardware, all of your infrastructure, the way your current digital processes work, which are different to your operation. And then from those, we'll do a full report, and it will do everything from your vulnerabilities, your security. It's a lot of focus on that at the moment, as well as sort of what your solution looks like. And then obviously the end of that is a big reveal where we lift the curtain and say, ta-da, look, it's Microsoft 365. It would normally be then, this is how we would move it. These are the solutions we recommend. And oftentimes, it's actually a cost saving when people go through this. They don't realize perhaps how many services they've got that they haven't considered or what they could try dropping down to move into one place.
Yeah.
we'll use Microsoft as an example. I know you're Google, but we'll use that as the primary example. It's got something like 40 apps within the base subscription.
Wow.
And most people use it for Outlook and Word.
Yeah.
So you've got this split between people end up paying for loads of different applications.
Yeah.
And they've already got them. They just don't have access or don't have the knowledge base to use it.
Mm. So they could be paying for Zoom as an example.
Zoom's a great example. Teams or Google Meet.
Yeah.
I mean, Google Meet is fantastic as a Zoom replacement. Gemini taking notes is sublime.
Right.
Not one of the only great uses for Gemini at the moment, frankly. Yeah. But it will do live translation, live captioning, and note taking, and similar timestamps. So if you were to do like what we've done internally, we moved all of our internal meetings to be on Teams.
Right.
Sorry, on Meet. All of our chats on Teams.
Right.
Because of the way we can all do the different data.
Brilliant.
But it means when the notes are produced, we can search all of them.
Yeah. So there's a huge amount of value that you'll give to an SME right up front before they've
I mean, the idea that we've taken is a very long-term business view.
Mm.
I do firmly believe if you help someone a little bit today, even if they're not in the right place to work with you, they will remember you and you will benefit from that in years to come. I think it's like business karma, perhaps. Mm. But the more that you actually give out and help someone, it only ever pays dividends.
I completely agree. And I think that's why you got such a strong reputation in the area because you're perceived and you are always willing to help and give people some advice and assistance.
You do get that sort of give an inch, take a mile sometimes where, particularly if we're very busy, so if we're doing a lot of onboardings or migrations, all of our nerds want to sort of go the extra mile and that's an easy thing to say. But when you're working a service desk with 100 tickets coming in, it can become quite a lot to keep exceeding it, especially when people creep out of scope. You must hear some web and stuff, which just happens.
Yeah.
So we try our best, but sometimes we do have to put a line down.
Absolutely.
I like to think about that. You're right.
No, definitely. And what excites you about the future of the business?
Future of the business is definitely our growth trajectory. We've got some really scary plans. I always think for business, scary is good. We are branching into different services that we've never offered before. So we're taking out everything to do with telco this month, and we're not selling it at all. We're going to do 2-3 months of just intense learning because that is everything from fiber connectivity to mobile phones to IoT SIM cards to all of it. So we've got to go again, another huge learning jump. That's really exciting. Mostly because it's good sort of broaden our knowledge and offer better solutions to clients. At the moment, we're having to invite third parties from different places to sort of try and fill gaps that we couldn't cover. So that's a good one. We've completed an acquisition this month, which is really exciting. So looking to sort of continue that growth for me is really exciting.
Yeah.
And trying to educate more people about business is probably my personal sort of one where I go on that side.
Yeah. Excellent. So you have got a lot going on there. Very fast moving, positive, projections going forward.
Try to be,
So it's exciting, exciting time for you.
Yeah, it seems the team are really on board with it. We're trying a lot of different marketing strategies. So we've got the whole team putting themselves out on LinkedIn, if you've seen it.
I have that.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, I have.
What we did, we went to... I'll tell you the story. We went to BizX with Action Go. And Gary Vee was talking. And he went off on one and he was adamant, I will swear. He said, it's fucking free. He said it's like 100 times.
Right? Yeah.
And he makes a good point. And he said, look, if you as an SME were to put 3 videos out every day for 6 weeks, just put it out there. Don't worry about polish. Don't worry about all this other stuff. Just do it. And I was sat there and I could see in this room about 500,000 people and everyone's going, that's a lot. I don't want to, because no one's comfortable putting themselves out. So I thought, okay, well, we're going to do it because one or two things happens. Either he's right, and he probably is.
Well, 3 videos, surely, say 6 or 8 minutes.
Yeah, it's not nothing to do, right? So it's really quick to film them. If he's right, the business will grow really well. If he's wrong, I get to email him and say, Gary, you're wrong.
Yeah.
And that also is quite satisfying. We'll try either way. So we worked out how many it was. Obviously, it's 21 a week to film.
Mm.
So we then went to the whole team and said, right, these are your topics. These are your questions. Yeah. We looked through our history of questions that clients come to us with. What about this? What about that? And realized that there's value in just answering. Just tell everyone everything. So we then prompted everyone from our nerds, our youngest starters, up to Stephen, who's rarely in the country anymore. But he's also answering questions, and everyone has got a little list of like 3 videos they must film a week.
Brilliant. And for some of the staff that generally people might not interact with regularly, they can put a face to the name as well, can't they?
I see. And I think it's really utilizing us. I was looking at our public-facing company.
Yeah.
But actually, this just looks better.
Mm.
Because historically, it was perhaps a stale blog post or occasional picture of me in some trees. And like, look, isn't that lovely? And it is.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really show us in the right way.
Yeah.
What I'd like to do is people to recognize the value we add in common sense.
Yeah.
And demystifying tech. Because it's not complicated. Yeah. It's just that it's different and it's changing.
And also, I guess, answering some regular problems and dealing with some reoccurring things that come up might actually save you some phone calls coming in as well.
We can't lose, right?
Yeah.
If someone else, honestly, if people turn it off again before they call us, and I know people say it all the time, but the amount of problems that fixes,
yeah,
you would not believe. We're training our little AI auto responses on tickets. Mm. That's coming up in the next 2 weeks. And I'm hot and cold about it because I like us offering personal service.
Yeah.
But effectively, our auto response that says, thanks for your ticket, is now going to say, thanks for your ticket. Before we get to it, I will say, our AI engine has read your ticket complaint.
Yeah.
I think it might be this if you tried it.
Yeah.
So that while people are waiting in a queue, because that's the nature of our segment, they're getting an answer they can try it immediately.
Also, that free up time so you can give improved service when you are doing more sophisticated work. Yeah.
And then that's, it's all about that tiny, if you improve a tiny bit 100 ways, everyone's happier.
Yeah.
Whereas if we were to focus all in on one thing, I think we'd be fun, Mark.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And tell me a bit more about your sort of personal goals and aims. Where are you as an individual?
Oh, tired. That's where I am. So at the moment, I'm training with my wife for 10K. I've run a marathon before, so that, but I then got injured, sprained my feet twice, both feet. So that's like a full recovery. Back to doing a run again, that'd be nice. Always working on my chess, always doing my hobbies and stuff.
Right.
What I'm looking to do at the moment is get some programs out in place. This is my current passion project, is to try and get school leavers in a room, 20 to 50 of them, no more, and get them a full 2-year mentorship in starting a business. I think there's too many school leavers at the moment who get told they need to either get a job or go to university. Mm. And they are the only two options. Right? Yeah. No one says, by the way, here's your financial education.
Mm.
So I'm going to put it out, hopefully to the whole county and to a broader area. Get guest speakers in every day. So it's an 8-week intense course and then 2 years of ongoing mentorship.
Wow.
I'll find you a mentor. I'll get you in front of investors. We'll get you anything you need to get started. Because most businesses really can start on a seed capital of about 500 quid.
Yeah.
If they knew, you've done it, right? If we're not to bootstrap, it's actually very doable.
Absolutely.
But no one teaches you that. No. Those of us who are still doing it have learned the hard way.
Yeah.
We've learned how to read P&L the balance sheet. We've learned how to leverage capital. We've learned how to pitch. We've learned the market. So actually, what if we were able to take all of that knowledge and get you in a room? Imagine if you were a school leaver, you could sit in a room and be taught these things as a proper, you're interested in it, you're passionate about it. We'll guide you through creation, through to launch. Except every day, you'll also get a guest speaker from a different sector. So there'll be an accountant and a lawyer, and there'll be a marketeer, and there'll be a salesman, and there'll be a nerd, whatever it looks like, until you feel comfortable to go. I think that's a really soft and nice way of starting the business, as opposed to being thrown into the deep end.
And you, with that, it's absolutely fantastic. You, you know, you've got the potential to change people's lives for the better, and giving them access to information that, like you say, where else would they go to get it?
It's gatekeepered. Phrases, but it's guarded. It's not information that's freely available. And as much as there are books on the topic, to be a good book on business, you've got to have a very specific niche. So there isn't a generic, here's how you start a business template. And to be fair, there isn't anyway.
And also that's, you know, you can source books of it, like you said, but again, it's a very academic route. And as we know, you know, a lot of people who run businesses might not be leaning towards that way. They might be more practical. Yeah. So coming along and learning in that route.
Especially if people who are neurodivergent. I'm having ADHD. My eldest son has, my youngest's AUDHD, so autistic ADHD. Mm-hmm. And there's something like 15% of directors and MDs are on ADHD, but it's only 5 or 7% of the population.
Mm.
So there's clearly a large tilt towards people who are divergent in that way and have that busy brain and they don't want to focus in on one thing. They are natural leaders of business.
Yeah, absolutely.
But also they do not fit education.
No.
So they normally get into it by working their way up the ranks in a company because they've got too much energy. They don't want to sit there just doing a job. And they'll find themselves in this leadership position, and then they'll often do it on their own.
Yeah.
At which point they're relying only on the knowledge they gained from that one job.
Yeah.
Whereas if we were able to say, actually, this is well-being. This is some simple tips on well-being. And an hour from now, we're going to talk about productivity.
Yeah.
We're going to give you 20 different tools that might or might not work for you. You can try them. Mm. And if someone were to give you that level of intense learning, especially if you're focused, I think it's going to be the best start possible. Now, businesses still fail, right? There's no guaranteed success here. But I think it, especially if you're really young, it's much better to try it, get it out of your system. Fail forwards, right?
Yeah.
And like you will, I've had ideas that fail. I don't know if you have, but
yeah.
You know, we've always tried things and that didn't work.
Lots of experiences that are challenging and you learn from it.
Exactly. If you get a good mentor and a good framework, you'll learn from it and then you can do it again better.
Definitely. And I think like you know, you were saying, the format that you're making it accessible in is much better for people. I think both of us, I'm sure, probably wished that we had somebody giving us that information before we began and fell over a couple of times.
Honestly, right?
Yeah.
The other thing is that I want it to be free. So yeah. It's going to be, you won't pay to learn.
Mm.
You know, I'll benefit because, let's be fair, I'm going to get, ideally, 50 new companies in the region.
Yeah.
That's amazing. If we actually were to build up the East Midlands, Stamford, Rutland area, where every year 50 companies are starting and succeeding.
Brilliant.
And even better, every speaker who's come in the room, guess what? If an accountant came in, he's just picked up 15 new clients.
Yeah.
Right? So you end up with this natural, organic growth.
It's an ecosystem that's feeding itself.
And it will basically drive people to stay in the region. Young people are often leaving for here.
Yeah.
A lot of jobs. Certainly not enough houses are built up to a year. So all of these things come together, hopefully, to build out what we need for our business to grow.
Yeah.
So it should be self-serving.
Absolutely amazing.
So if I do it first.
And the last thing I really wanted to sort of ask you, understand really, what are you hoping to get from this podcast? Obviously, you know, pushing forward with it, and we're quite excited about it. But you as an individual, what are you hoping to get from it?
I like talking to people. I like learning their stories. So for me, the idea of being able to sit, chat through these things, learn from everyone else's experiences is invaluable.
Mm.
I'd love to be able to shine a spotlight on some of the lesser known companies in our area. Like, there are some massive businesses within the Stamford, right, the Greater East Midlands that people just don't know exist.
Yeah.
And there also are some powerhouse small companies, like sort of 1 to 3 man bands who are doing really well, some great stuff that perhaps aren't great at expressing it on the news all the time. Being able to give them a bit of
a platform
to
promote themselves.
That's invaluable. And there isn't really a great go-to source for business in our area that I know of. Please tell me if I'm wrong, but there isn't an accessible format for this. So I think that for me is exciting.
Yeah, no, definitely is. Definitely is. Well, thanks again. I've really enjoyed it and look forward to seeing you a lot more.
Yeah, I think you will. See you, man.